If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Gust of Wind. This is a gazerless gust. So Steuben, as always, going it almost alone, but I am joined by Milwaukee Regional top eight player, Jared Waitala. What's going on, Jared?
Not much. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We are in the same playtesting group. So as soon as, you know, your run was deep, I was like, hey, let's get you on here exclusively for the interview so you can talk about the run and everything leading up to Milwaukee.
It was awesome. Sharing that day with you guys, just over Discord, just telling you guys how it was going.
Oh man, I had the stream on at work on the TV, and like the customers in there were making fun of me because I was like so like fanboying, like that's my dude. Like they were like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I'm excited for my bro right now, man. Like they're like, okay, I get it. That's pure happiness, you know, being excited for your friends and everything. So it was exciting for all of us. I wish a few more of the guys could join the call or whatever, but I know Bean's traveling to Fresno right now.
And yeah,
the schedules are weird because especially like we got JP on the other side of the world and Cash on the other side of the world. So it just awkward time zones. It happens, but
yeah, I literally thought about picking up a flight to Fresno like maybe 2 hours ago when I found out I actually couldn't go to Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah.
So I thought about that and I was like, no, I really should just take this weekend to go to those cups. So
yeah, and we'll talk about that. But before we get too crazy and wrapped up in like the run itself, give the pod and the listeners a little bit about yourself and your Pokemon career so far.
Yeah, so I've been playing Pokemon for about, what, this is 2023, about 12 years-ish. It honestly really started with a ad in the newspaper for the Pokemon National Championships that was happening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And I live in Fort Wayne, which is about 3 hours or 2.5 hours north of Indy. And my parents knew that my brother and I played Pokemon. And they were like, you know what? Let's just go. So for like the days that it was occurring, we went to one of them. I think it was like Saturday or Friday, something like that. And we drove down, literally didn't know how to play Pokemon like correctly or like legally, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you got like the street Pokemon and the rules at the playground and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. Highest HP, bigger
yeah, numbers,
more energy without actually playing any energy.
Exactly, yeah. Literally that, yeah. And just playing the video game. So we went down and didn't know much, and we just kind of jumped right in. I know somebody who was like the head of side events or something, that something was happening with them. They found us, and we were like, oh, we don't know how to play. And they're like, all right, let's teach you guys how to play. They sat down my brother, and they gave him a theme deck and a booster box of Undaunted, I believe, at the time.
Whoa, a whole box just for,
yeah,
like, that's wild.
And they literally cracked it open right there, and they modified the theme deck with the booster box that they gave my brother. And I played a bunch of side events. There used to be a line where you would go in and it was like free side events, and you would go with your opponent and you would be like, oh, they won or I won. and the winner gets to choose one of the two prizes they set out first, and the loser gets the other one. And I just did a bunch of that, and I played the video game a little bit. I learned how to play the card game with my brother after his theme deck thing was finished, and to be honest, we've never looked back. It was just a fun day at Nationals, and I went to League, picked up the Truth as the very first deck I learned how to play after the World Championships, and it was just a ton of fun, and I'm very happy I've been doing this since then.
That's awesome. Yeah, the way that side events and like learning how to play at a big event has changed. Now they have the Play Lab and the First Steps program and all that kind of stuff that really gets a lot of new people into it, because people do just show up to like the regional championships and not have a lick of what to do like at all. So it's nice now that there's more like a full-on established program that they can do at all these events for newcomers to get into it.
Yeah, it's honestly really cool. Like I was really excited to see that like the Play Labs were starting to be a thing, and then the First Steps was really cool. They just got a bunch of cards out there, and you like just build a deck, I believe, and they teach you how to play, which I think is
like
amazing.
Really, really loose guidelines. Like, okay, go to this table and pick up so many cards from here. Then go to the next table and grab those, and then go to the next table and get these. And then all you need now is your energy cards, and you're ready to go. So it's kind of cool because everyone gets to take home something. And then now with the Play Lab, they're getting like full on like demo decks with like non-foil V cards in there, which is cool. I think I saw Greninja, Umbreon, and I can't think of the third one, but there's a handful of like non-foil V's
there. Yeah, there's something like that. I definitely remember the Umbreon because everyone was like, oh my gosh, it's Umbreon, and it's another evolution.
Same reason everyone freaks out about the prize pack Umbreon VMAX when it's a stamp on it.
I saw that selling for $180 at Milwaukee.
I got lucky and cases. I hit one from a prize pack from League, and it is currently waiting to come back from CGC, so I'm curious what I got on it. It's a nice little turnaround on that. But so Milwaukee wasn't your first major accomplishment. You've had a handful. In 2016, you got 16th place at a Fort Wayne Regionals with Intel Garbador. So top 16 a handful of years ago. And then last year, you got top 64, 46 with Arceus Beedrill at the Salt Lake City Regional,
which that was a lot
the
of
first
fun.
Event back. So excited to see that, too.
It's been over a year since that day two, and I'm very glad I was able to get a day two this season because I knew I could do it, and I just kept coming up short this year. So I'm very happy to have finally made day two again.
Yeah, the persistence definitely pays off and keeping up with it.
Yeah, I definitely could have made top 16 at Salt Lake that year, but I had to leave with three rounds left in day two because my flight was scheduled on Sunday. I was not expecting to make day two as the first event back and having a complete VGC background.
Yeah, you want to talk about the VGC background? I was going to ask about that, but that's a pretty good segue into it. So VGC, what happened there?
So what happened is when we got into the Pokemon card game back in 2011, I played the card game until 2014, where I was really entranced with like how VGC worked. I thought it was very cool. I wanted to learn more. I built my own team, and I went to Nationals, and I actually played in VGC that year. So VGC US Nats 2014 was like my first event for VGC. Don't remember how well I did, to be honest. But then I played VGC until I became a master. I ended up winning Kansas Regional Championships in 2016 as a senior. I day two'd Worlds that year. And then I became a master the fall of 2016, which meant I was competing with all the new masters. And for VGC, it can be very brutal for a senior to move up to masters. It's always kind of scary for a senior TCG or VGC going up to the master division. It's a whole new world. So I was like, I just want to have fun, and I played the card game for the Fort Wayne Championship since I live in Fort Wayne. and I ended up just doing extremely well there. If I didn't mess up on stream, I believe I was playing against like a Carbink Zygarde deck.
I remember that deck.
Yeah, I got like locked out because I only had like EXs in play or something like that. So and
yeah,
the Carbink, I was getting frustrated and I attached like a DCE to my Veltal instead of my Shaman to pick it up so I could put down like another single prizer or something like that.
So you just like finished yourself out basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could have like timed out, or we could have gone to like a game three and got a tie and I could have like made top eight or something like that. It was like super, super close to that. So I played TCG for like half of that season and then went back to VGC. I played VGC for like 2017, 18, 19. And then during COVID, I played VGC. And then I switched back to TCG coming back after COVID. Kind of the same mentality as Fort Wayne when I became a master. I was like, I just want to do it. It seems like fun. I haven't done it in a while. So I just picked up the cards. And Frank Persic helped me out a little bit with a Arceus Beedrill Urshifu deck.
Yeah,
and I managed to get day two with that deck. I believe Justin Bean, actually, another member of Redacted, played the exact same 60 as me. And that's how I kind of got introduced to Beanie Boy.
Yeah, yeah. He's the one that roped me into. He would always like hang out on the Twitch streams and whatnot. And
oh, nice.
I think after like playing a couple events and like, man, you know what? Like, I don't have like a strong local scene. There's a greater local area that's all right. Like, Frank's actually like somewhat local here. He's about an hour away.
Oh, wow. Okay.
From where I'm at. And, but like in the immediate local scene, like for like that half hour, it's just super dead for the most part. So I was just like, you know, without like a real group, what can I do? What can I play? You know what I mean? Like, I'd have to travel an hour each way to go to any sort of like actual competitive local. And then they invited me, and that's what started it with everything. So shout out to them for roping me in and Pat and the gang too. So
yeah, I'm very, very glad to be a part of this group. Literally, I kept trying to find people and it just never was really working out. So I literally just asked out on Twitter, and now I'm here.
The power of Discord though, honestly, like
literally,
yeah, it's pretty, pretty prep. We're even using it right now. So shout out to Discord for their services, shameless plug. But yeah, so Milwaukee leading up, you played Tords list and we all knew about it in the group, but, feel free to let everyone out there know like why you settled on Tords list for Milwaukee specifically.
To be honest, it really came down to me, knowing that it was Tords list was consistent. And then my girlfriend was like, yeah, you should play Tords list specifically. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I'll listen to you. And whenever I listened to my girlfriend, I end up doing well. Like, I remember I would go to locals, she would tell me to play a certain deck, and I would just win that week's locals with it.
Yeah.
So I literally picked it partially because I knew Tord was just a genius at this game, and then my girlfriend was like, yeah, you definitely should be playing Tord's list.
I think, like, comparing Tord to, like, other players, he's still on a whole other level. The four ICs. And just the fact that like he's very humble and down to earth, and like you don't ever see him in like the Twitter arguments about stipend chasing and an event showing up.
And,
like, interacting with Tord, even like when he streams on Twitch or whatever, just it feels so different compared to like watching other creators. And I don't want to like stir the pot for whatever reason, but just get on Tord's level, everybody, honestly, as a person and as a player.
Yeah, for sure. I love just watching Tord play, because after he wins like two, like he just seems so like happy, but he's not like, I don't know, there's something different about Tord.
Like, it's not showboating, you know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah,
just like, oh cool, all right, I won the game, what's next? And he goes from there. And like, also like the explanations that Tord gives to everybody is really solid in general as well.
Oh, 100%.
So no changes whatsoever. Were there any cards that you were considering changing for that weekend leading into Milwaukee?
I was considering taking out a psychic energy for a third stadium, Champions Festival, or the penny for Champions Festival. Just reason why is the Champions Festival allows you to attach another energy to Gardevoir, kind of acts as that choice belt, but acts as a path bump too. I was also debating about running a third rare candy and going down to three Kirlia, because during testing I've just found myself to be wanting to rare candy more often, and that I just always had like Gardevoir and rare candy, and I was like, might as well just dive more into that. Yeah. But those were pretty much the only changes I've been debating about, and I really do like I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting about who literally won Milwaukee with Gardevoir. Henry Brand.
Yeah, Henry. Good old Benry.
Yep. I am now considering about playing around with Henry's list for this weekend. So I definitely think going down to two research is okay. I found myself having research way too often for that deck. I think two is completely fine. But yeah, I think I was definitely considering a third Champions Festival, or a third stadium in general, Champions Festival. And I feel like it would have been nice. It definitely would have been very nice for the run, not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm looking at PokeStats Live, and you did hit a handful of Lugia matchups.
Yeah.
And I feel like there it didn't matter too much. But in round 13, you played Azul, which was one of your two losses in the Swiss portion, basically. And, you know, he's playing the Kyogre in there. So that 20 damage, do you think the healing from the it's 10 from Champions Festival, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 10.
It's 10. Do you think that would have made a difference in that matchup against Azul?
I don't think it would have made a difference in that matchup when we were playing, to be honest. I just don't think I've mastered that matchup like Henry has. So definitely rewatching that VOD makes me think that Champions Festival versus Lost Box isn't necessarily like good for that matchup. I think it's better to hit higher numbers like 300 and 330 more consistently, though.
I think hitting 340 might matter eventually, as we keep getting other stage 2 EXs.
Yeah, for sure.
So who knows? It might really matter then too. But we haven't really seen anybody adapt to that the charm Drifloon thing in a while. Even in Asia, it kind of like fell off early on. But I feel like just the accessibility of Champions Festival is part of the problem in itself.
It definitely is. I think it's a very cool card. It's definitely hard to get. I feel really bad for those Japanese players.
Yeah, it's way more expensive for them than it is for the rest of the world, because, like, you know, the welcome kit, you get one of every language, and people like tend to pass those extra languages around to people they know from other territories that can use them. So
yeah,
it's a big part of it. But so let's talk about the run itself, the Swiss portions. Day one, you had one L, which was round 7 against Ben, which ended up being your opponent in
top eight.
So any of those other matchups specifically, though, that you want to talk about from anything day one related whatsoever?
To be honest, I had a pretty good day one. It was no Lost Box, which I got very lucky, but it seems like a lot of those Lost Box people either like just didn't do well, or they got paired against each other. So I think it was a little bit of luck, slash I feel like I was playing at a, like, I was doing so well that I was able to avoid them.
Yeah, you hit three Lugia matchups. You hit two Arctina, two Mew, and an Arc Duraludon, as well as a Mirror.
Yeah.
In day one. So you had it set out for you by fate itself that you didn't hit any loss box whatsoever. Round one, your opponent went 0-3 drop, according to PokeStats Live. So
yep.
Duraludon just feels like free real estate for Gardevoir, ultimately.
It's so good. Like, that matchup was so free.
Yeah.
And like, then, it was Arc Dura Umbreon, more specifically. PokeStats wouldn't let me put Arceus Umbreon, but it was Arc Dura Umbreon, and that matchup is way better than what I anticipated. Like, them having two VMAXs and, like, just bossing up, like, Avenged V instead, you can still win the game so easily.
Yeah, Umbreon, it can hit your EX for a weakness and get a KO, but it's a bench sitter, and it's free prizes.
Well, even then, DTE says before weakness and resistance, so yeah, they're not even OKOing your RDEX.
If they have to not get the full, like, Trinity Nova, Trinity Charge onto it, it does not feel good for them whatsoever. It's just like a wasted commitment at that point in time.
And then round two, I believe I tied versus Mew. Mm-hmm. Is that what it says on PokeStats? Yeah. So game one, I won. Game two, I ended up losing because they Roxanne'd me. And my deck was pretty thin. I remember that. I just wasn't able to draw into my path counter.
Okay.
Which was like, I believe I had a worker and a temple left. So it was pretty good odds between like my Curlias, and I just didn't draw. So got a little unlucky there. Went into game three, ended up as a tie. Mew is pretty good, I think, now, especially not running Sky Seal Stone and running Forest Seal Stone, which a lot of people would not think is the case.
It just gives you that extra like push the beginning of the game where it matters a little bit more. Like, especially like that turn one, it could turn into a battle pass.
It's so good.
To grab extra Ralts or like Greninja for whatever purpose, or like whatever you think you need or whatever you don't already have. Because there's just so many times too, like from when I've played it with a Sky Seal Stone, like it feels like it's so dead sometimes. And when you want it, you can't find it. So like just the Forest Seal just feels so much better than the Sky Seal ultimately now.
Forest Seal Stone was amazing, not gonna lie. I'm very glad I played Forest Seal Stone over Sky Seal Stone. I don't think I could ever justify going back to Sky Seal Stone.
I don't blame you at all, especially with the new format and everything too, and we'll dive into it in a little bit here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you hit a mirror next. I'm sure you won the coin flip on that one, and
I actually did not win the coin flip. Okay. No. So with the Gardevoir matchup, it's a little weird. I didn't go first either game one or game two.
Ooh.
I was just able to, I think, outplay them. I didn't think they knew the mirror that well, to be honest. They were swinging with their Zacian at wrong times, I think. So I was able to capitalize off of that.
Yeah, if they're swinging with Zacian, you swing with Guardi. If you're swinging with Guardi, they swing with Zacian. And like,
exactly.
Yeah, you got to be careful on all that kind of stuff and where you pivot around to. And then, yeah, next you hit freaking regional champion Reagan Retzloff.
Oh my gosh.
They were playing Arceus. So I'm sure like just seeing their name like on Arcanine.
Regan was like playing Lugia, right?
Yeah, Lugia Arceops. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So like just seeing their name though, like on Arcanine, I'm like, oh crap. Yeah, I would get the jitters. Like, oh, I'm going up as a regional champion. Like, I know it's like all in your head and like the game can play out completely different sitting down and focusing, but
yeah, my heart dropped. I'm not going to lie. When I saw that name, I definitely thought I was going to be like 2-1-1 or like 1-2-1 for the tournament at that point, but I was able to pull off the win. Game one though, it was not good for me. I think I drew for my turn and then immediately like passed. Oof. And then shortly after, we went to game two. Game two was the same thing, but with him, Regan just wasn't able to do anything. And then game three, it was pretty back and forth from what I remember. I was just able to outpace him, and he got a little unlucky, if I remember correctly.
The coin flips, most likely. Doing them in,
yeah,
the Mesa Goza and capturing Aroma. That's the reason why I don't feel confident playing Lugia outside of like a local.
It feels too flippy for me.
Yeah. And it's still super popular and it's still super powerful, but I mean, if you flip tails, you fail. So
yeah.
And yeah, you hit another Lugia right after that, another victory there. Then you hit the first Arctina, and this one went in your favor, but then round 7 you hit Ben and took an L there to his Arctina. What happened in that matchup, that round?
So what happened against Ben, I remember, I think I like immediately after that match messaged like our redacted group and was like, I don't think I played a game of Pokemon that round. I just like between Path and like Judge, I just wasn't able to set up. Arctina did what it was supposed to do. My deck couldn't get through it. So that's definitely what happened.
Yeah, I mean, taking your first L of the day, though, in round 7 is still definitely good, considering that you won out the rest of the night. So,
yeah, seven, I was definitely one, happy one, getting where, out of there. Where I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you hit another Lugia and then a Mew. And on the day 2, it was. How did you feel after day 1? I know, excited, clearly. Like, that's a dumb question for me to ask. Yeah. But, like, what was going through your mind?
I was feeling amazing, not gonna lie. The last time I went like that well, I went 7-2 at Fort Wayne that year, and I ended up making top 16. So after day 1, I was feeling amazing. I felt like I could have definitely a deep run. I was thinking about IDing in round 9 just so I could like go hang out with my friends that I was staying with, but then my girlfriend nudged me in the right way, and she was like, no, you really should play out the last round. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I could make top 8 if I win this last round. Ended up winning, and the rest is history.
Yeah, a win or a loss or the tie, like right there, I think just getting that extra win, though, really does push you a little bit further up.
100% did.
So it's a massive difference.
I mean, I don't think the ID I would have made
is okay, but again, just means you got to win out even harder earlier on. But I mean, you plowed right through 10, 11, and 12, all dubs.
Oh my God, it was insane.
Yeah, the rush you're most likely feeling at that point in time is probably off the charts. But round 10, first round of the day, you had another Lugia. Any thoughts on that matchup?
So I actually thought it was a Lost Box deck at first. Apparently Lugia still runs Drapion.
What?
Yeah, I sat down with my opponent and we flip over our cards for game 1 and it's Drapion.
Oh, wow.
And I won the coin flip and I'm like, oh God, here's my first Lost Box of the tournament. I set up my board and I'm like, pass. And he draws and he puts down a Lugia. And I go, what? Yeah, Lugia still plays Drapion for some reason.
I'm gonna have to click into their name and see what their day looked like. Their day 1 looked like, if they hit a bunch of Mew to where that mattered. Because I don't think I'd ever consider putting Drapion and Lugia in this format, honestly.
Yeah, like I was like, this is day 2, and I'm like, we're both 7-1-1. And I sit down from him and he flips over Drapion. Of course, my mind was going, saying it was Lost Box. And then it turned out to be Lugia.
That definitely had to be like a feeling of relief, though, like knowing that it wasn't
Lost Box. It was.
Yeah.
He ended up leading Lumineon game 2. And I was like, so man, just, this is a sign.
Yeah, just free. Just free at that point. The fate was on your side. And then, yeah, you hit next round, Dan Hugar, and they were playing a Arctina. And this one looks like a dub here, so they didn't get to do all the things they wanted to do. But any thoughts on that matchup specifically?
Yeah, so my friend actually said that this win was like the determining like match that I was going to end up going to top 8 because of like some of the plays I ended up doing. And the very last turn of the game, this is game 2. We only have like 5-10 minutes maybe left. I won game 1. We're in game 2, and Dan puts down a Path to the Peak. And I have no outs left. but I have a Palpad and a Worker in my discard pile. I only have a few cards left in my deck. I draw them, I play Palpad, and I only put Worker back into my deck. And then I refinement or I Shining Arcana to get my Worker, and then I played Worker. The thing is, Dan was like, no, you can't play that card. I was like, no, what? No, I totally can. Because it says, draw three cards, period, discard a stadium, period. They're two separate effects. But he's like, no, you can't play that. And we called over a judge, and the judge was like, let me check with the other judges. They checked with the other judges. They said, a ruling in like my favor that like you still can play Worker. And then he was like, I would like to appeal. And we went up to the head judge, and the head judge even was like, let me check. And the problem is with Worker is that in the compendium, it says you may play Worker if there's no stadium, but it doesn't say you can play Worker if there's no deck.
It's the same thing as like your deck is a deck of zero technically or whatever. I'm sure they said that at one point in time.
They said it was like two separate effects, and you have to play a card to the most of its effects. So since it was two separate effects, I could discard the stadium but draw no cards.
Yeah, because it's not draw three if you do discard a stadium.
So I was able to discard that stadium, attach, active, embrace once, retreat, and swing with my Shining Arcana Gardevoir to win that game. But my friend definitely said like that play was like the play of the tournament for me. So I was very happy about that, and I was feeling really, really good.
Good. And then, yeah, round 12, you hit Christian Fontenot, and they were playing an Arceus deck. It doesn't specify what it was. Do you remember specifically, like, what kind of arc?
I 100% remember what it is. It's the deck that...
Oh, this is the stream match. This is the stream match, right?
No. This is the freaking Klefki Archeops... No, not Archeops. Aerodactyl Arceus deck.
Okay.
The Klefki with like Battle VIP Pass, Arceus Path, Aerodactyl. Like Joe Turntine on Twitter is like keeps like retweeting it with like all caps, keys.
Okay, yeah, I've seen the tweets now. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
It's like the turbo lock or whatever, depending on what matchup you hit. You want to go all the keys, or you want to go as fast as you can to the Aerodactyl, or so on and so forth, because you can't Starbirth and also use Aerodactyl in the same game, so you have to really like make it very focused and whatnot.
And like,
from there,
Aerodactyl wasn't even like that good in the matchup, because Aerodactyl is only for V Pokemon.
Yeah, so it just doesn't do anything for you. They can turn off your Zacian, which you're only going to use probably on the first turn of the game anyway, so they can't.
Or my Lumineon,
yeah. So as long as you're drawing hot, you don't have to worry about Lumineon searching for supporters or anything such like that. So,
yeah, and even then, like, you don't really have to use Lumineon. You can just refinement, like, through your deck.
Pretty brutal. All right, so... Round 13. This you were on stream round 14. I'm a ding dong. I don't know. I was watching.
Yeah.
I'm all excited already again. But so round 13, you hit Azul.
Azul, yeah. That's the first loss box of the whole tournament.
They've been pretty much on that same like 58 something cards, it seems like.
Yeah, I think non-star. They didn't change anything from Hartford. I think it was the same 60.
Okay. So that matchup, how'd that play out?
Brutal. It was rough. I think I won the coin flip, but I wasn't really able to set up. He wasn't able to set up. I ended up winning game one, actually, thinking about it. Game two, I just tried my best. I really did not know how to play, like, a good Lost Box player. Like, it's different to have Gardevoir playing against like a Lost Box like deck, but it's way different to be playing Gardevoir versus Azul piloting Kyogre Lost Box.
I can only imagine.
He knows like everything about that matchup, the in, the out. What was like what I didn't even think about is that like most Lost Box players don't want to be swinging with Dragonite, but Dragonite is a really good card in that Gardevoir matchup. It swings the matchup so favorably towards Lost Box. It's insane. I didn't even think about that or know about it until it happened to me.
Yeah, because who cares if he hurts his own bench? Like, it's not going to do anything to make your day easier because you're just going to swing over single prizers anyways half the time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then like, because usually what they're doing is they're swinging with Cram, taking a prize or attacking your Zacian. You use Zacian to knock out Cram, but then he just brings up Dragonite and he just obliterates your Zacian.
Yeah, and then you really have to reach to get to that Dragonite. I mean, 250 is not super unattainable, but after Zacian goes down, you have to make sure you have like a Shining Arcana, and then the prize trade is just still screwed up at that point, I assume.
Yeah, and they've already taken three prizes, but you've taken three after the, if you knock out the Dragonite. So it's a little hard, especially since they've already got like probably close to 10, if not 10, in their loss zone already. So it's a really rough matchup in the hands of like these really like top tier players.
Yeah, and if they get anywhere, like depending on your board state, if they have two or three prizes left, they pretty much like can just get the deck down to zero and Kyogre.
Exactly, yeah. It's a rough matchup. I think after watching Henry play versus Caleb, granted Caleb did get very unlucky.
Yes, yes.
Especially game one, game two, a little less unlucky. But I think Henry definitely knew what he was doing, and I definitely plan on rewatching that match several times over.
Yeah, Henry's lines of play with the Cresselia and the Stadium and the Penny and everything were solid options to see.
It was very phenomenal.
But besides from Henry taking the dub, round 14 is the round you were picked to go on stream. This is against Anil Sayani. I'm sure I'm destroying the pronunciation of their name. So Dave, for whatever reason, if you're listening, my bad. But they were playing Mew. But yeah, this is the stream game. So what was going on in your head? We could see everything on our side, and you know, like the guys and I were all watching in our own little ways and whatnot. So it was super exciting.
To be honest, I was just excited that I was going on stream. Like I said on stream, I've got two goals for every tournament: win round one, play on stream. And this was the very first time I was able to accomplish both goals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you said that in your interview with Skarzig. So
yeah, I was over the moon. I literally did not care if I could win or lose that match on stream. I was just happy to be up there and to play Pokemon.
But yeah, so the matchup, I mean, it definitely like, it was kind of a nail biter in that final game.
Yeah, I was definitely sweating, and then he played Roxanne, and mm-hmm. then I was like, oh no. But then he revealed during the Roxanne that he literally had like five or four cards total to draw. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they basically decked themselves out. So, but like they yeah. had that, they early on, like their judge path, like felt like it was actually kind of sticking against you.
It was really strong. I will say that. Yeah.
When they hit the luck, they hit the luck, but then it ended up biting him in the butt in the end.
Yeah, I was game one was, I thought I was totally losing. I thought yes. that game was over for me.
It did not look like it was going to go well. And then I think they flipped tails and then missed the attack. And then the penalty happened. That was in game two, right?
That was game two. Yeah.
Game two where they had declared the attack and the attack step, but it did not pivot into the other Mew at all during the turn. And like once you declare an attack, it's pretty much over at that point. And that was that was like the extra opener you needed to get back into the game.
Into game two, yeah. Yeah. Game one, like I thought it was over, but I was able to just knock out two Mew VMAXs. Game two, him declaring the attack but having already Technoblast the turn before really, really put the nail in the coffin. Mm-hmm. I think I was able, I think I was going to be able to win that game regardless, but it definitely was the nail in the coffin for him.
Yeah, it made it a lot easier to see the path of victory, and then like also gave you extra time for the next couple of games.
Oh, for sure.
But you need to play three anyways. You won 2-0, so I mean,
yeah,
it just, you get that first game and you feel like, all right, cool, I can either lose this next one and go to time, or we could just play it out. And I mean, like, you like played that beautifully getting there, so
yeah, I was very happy about it. It's a little weird playing on stream though, because you only have 50 minutes for regular Swiss rounds of stream, but they want you to play slower and to like make sure everything is like looking neat and that you're like doing one thing at a time and you're not doing any shortcuts. So like I went back and I rewatched it and I was like, man, this was close to 50 minutes, but like I felt like we could have done it in like maybe 30, 40 minutes at tops.
Yeah, the production really takes the reign of any game on stream whatsoever too. So
yeah, it was,
you have to wait to get seated and then you have to set up and then you have to get the okay from the judges to put your prize cards over. Yep. And then they give you the okay when to start, and everyone, you know, like the white noise, which you said you doesn't, before we started recording, like the white noise doesn't bother you. It helps you to an extent, but the fact that like not everybody's used to that, and like all the lights and the pressure of, you know, you've got X amount of people watching in the audience at the crowd of the tournament itself, plus whatever the YouTube and Twitch streams have going on. Not everyone's like able to like get on a camera and be able to be themselves or whatever and just play it out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I definitely was feeling a little sorry after I beat Anil, because he said before the game he only needed to be in top 16 to get his invite to Worlds. So he needed to win the next round if he lost this round versus taking two ties to get the invite. So he was actually able to win the last round to get his invite, thankfully. Okay. So,
good.
It sucked a little bit being able to beat him, but at the same time, I was over the moon.
And then round 15, you tied. Give yourself a little bit of a breather. The tie locks yourself in to top 8. And then, yeah, you get picked to go right back up on stream against your loss from day one, Ben. And then
I was definitely much happier to be playing Ben than I was to be playing like Azul again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Going into top 8, I think Pokestats had me as the 3rd seed and Azul as the 6th seed. So I thought we were going to end up playing, but it turned out with like Caleb Gettemer's match, like mixing up resistance, ended up going in as 4th seed and Ben was 5th. So much happier to be playing that matchup.
Yeah, resistance always matters. They've been wrong a few times when it comes to putting those top 8 brackets up before, but they're still pretty close and almost always correct, except for like the bubbles and whatnot, and the resistance is kicking in. So
yeah,
but this is where the dragon shields failed you.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So now's your chance to be like, hey, Ultimate Guard, hook a brother up.
Oh my god, please. If I could get free sleeves, and I would be more than happy to be sticking to one brand, like, period. I'd be very okay with that.
Yeah, they send me, Ultimate Guard sends me sleeves, so I'm
super, oh, really?
Yeah, I'm super excited to be able to use all their stuff all the time. It's very awesome. Yeah.
They definitely put out some great sleeves. They put out the katanas, right? Mm-hmm.
Katanas in the Cortex line, which is like a more like an everyday kind of budget sleeve, but they're perfectly fine.
Yeah, the katanas, I remember I would buy them for my Magic decks, and those were sick.
Might be time to like, hey,
switch over.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of issues with Dragon Shields anyway, so the quality and the printing process, especially the dual mats, I've seen a lot of people
destroy.
But that's besides the point. So, unfortunately, with what happened, drawing that extra card and getting the two prize penalty. If it wasn't for the two prize penalty from like the way the stream match went, like I feel like you could have had that game.
I definitely did have the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw the line of play, and I was like, all right, this is, I win this way, and I refinement, and I took the first card perfectly fine, and I go to take the second one, but the two sleeves were, like, stuck together, and I, like, was, like, picking up my card, but the card underneath it stuck to the card I was trying to draw, so I saw the level ball, which was the third card, and I didn't even get to see the card I was supposed to draw.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's like
stuck together. Mm-hmm. I think it's partially my fault because I definitely did not resleeve for day two. I was just happy to be in day two. I wasn't anticipating going into top eight, so I definitely should have resleeved, but what's happened.
Yeah, and then now it's a lesson learned for the future. Next time,
exactly.
Day two, get some new sleeves the night before, head them back to the hotel room, and go from there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that matchup. Game one was rough. Game two, I definitely had. Game three, who knows?
Yeah, it was definitely looking like it could have gone to a game three, but them's the breaks, as they say. But all in all, top eight. Definitely. How are you feeling afterwards?
I'm feeling awesome, not gonna lie. I'm very glad to just have made day two, and then that top eight on top of it was like the icing on the cake. Very, very, very happy to have done that. I was struggling a lot with like how I was as a player. Like, I knew I could make day two, but this year I wasn't able to. I think with the introduction to the Lost Zone engine and me playing that a bunch, it just wasn't for me. And I really didn't want to play Lugia, and I really didn't want to play Arcpile. So I was just really struggling to find a deck I liked. And then Gardevoir was released, and I've been doing pretty well since then.
Yeah, Gardevoir's, honestly, it's a breath of fresh air. Compared to where like card design has been in the past year and a half in general.
Oh my god, yes.
And Paladea Evolved is technically released by the time this episode comes out. So any cards in there specifically you're excited to play with outside of like tweaking Gardevoir, any other new decks that you want to build, anything like that?
To be honest, I really want to build the Fortress, Woshien, and then Shaman V-Star all together in the same deck.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be a banger. Do you make them take prize cards? Shaman gets stronger. Wochien gets stronger.
Then you Iono them to like four or three right away. Yeah, man.
Drop their hand size down, and hopefully they don't have like a Bibarel or whatever set up to be able to draw back up.
Exactly.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. This set seems super awesome in general. Plus, it adds stuff to Gardevoir. So we get Artisan and the energy card and just different counts of cards in the deck, and it honestly feels like it's super powerful, especially like being able to throw Luxray in to make Lugia step back a little bit. Iono is huge for the deck.
And then with the reversal energy, you're able to actually run the two other Glades like more comfortably.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about not being able to attach them.
Exactly. And then with like the psychic Glade with Buddy Catch, you were able to get like your Iono, or like since you're running for Iono now, like you're one of supporters more often. Like, it's going to be very nice.
Yeah, you don't have to rely on like Miriam anymore whatsoever either.
100%.
Super Rod coming into the mix. So yeah, Paldea Evolved is definitely huge. But leading into NAIC with Paldea Evolved, I think like a lot of us in the group, and you know, insider information, I guess, but we're mostly like thinking Guardy, I think.
Yeah, I just don't see Gardevoir just not winning NAIC, to be honest. It's such a strong deck. Granted, this is going to be a much different format. Gardevoir is definitely going to have a different feel to it, I think. And then us American players play way different decks than Japan. And then same with the structure of tournaments in general is way different from Japan. So who knows what could happen, but my bet's on Gardevoir. I think that deck is going to be super dominant and just really, really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype around Chi and Pao, but I don't think any of us are like super sold to make it like a viable option for what we're considering.
Yeah, the one thing about that though, I think Xianpao, you run like Scatter's Park with your Greninja and Baxcalibur. So you just attach the energy to your Greninja, and when you Moonlight Shuriken, the energy just goes back to your hand.
Mm-hmm. Instead of so it being like, discarded. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be I think that's going to be really good. I don't think people are fully realizing that is going to be a thing. And then same with like Lost City with like Xianpao decks and Greninja.
Yeah, Lost like, City hurts.
I think that deck is going to be very good versus Gardevoir too. So like I think they're going to have a pretty good matchup versus each other. Like Gardevoir is very good. And then Xianpao with like Lost City, I think it's going to be very, very good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a weird month, technically about less than now at this point.
Well, we've got like 3 weeks, maybe?
Like less than basically after tonight recording Thursday night. The episode comes out Friday. So yeah, 3 weeks from the day basically is day one of NAIC, so it's gonna be a grind, not just for us but for everybody out there, like trying to figure out what the play is, what do you like, what's the tech choices, and what's the meta game sure. gonna shape up to be. I'm definitely gonna be watching a lot of like online results like a hawk, just out of curiosity with like the late nights and
everyone
stuff like
is
that. Yeah,
assuming they get their stuff in line.
Yeah, it seems like a live. Rough. Yeah, it seems like a rough release today so far. So hopefully it smooths out over the next couple of days. And I think I saw like a late night special event scheduled for tomorrow afternoon, one in the evening, and then weekly Tourney of Doom. Shout out to Senior Doom and Pokiemi who run that. But also this weekend too is Fresno. So a lot of the top talent that could be playing online will most likely be in California playing the current format without Paldea Evolved.
Correct.
Any quick thoughts on Fresno? I know this is the second episode of the week, and I talked about this with Gazer and Dre and the guys that were on. But any quick thoughts on Fresno metagame?
After with Gardevoir coming out and performing as well as it did like this weekend, both in Milwaukee and over in Europe, I believe, mm-hmm. or was it South America?
South America, I believe.
South America with the Gardevoir Mewtwo. I think Lost Box is definitely going to go up back in like popularity, which means Lugia. I don't know, to be honest. I think Lost Box is definitely going to be more prevalent, but at the same time, I think Gardevoir is going to be played a lot more. I think people are going to be like not too scared to play it again, especially with Gardevoir beating Lost Box in the finals at Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised to see another like two Gardevoirs in top eight at Fresno, as well as like a Mew, like probably like three Lost Box again, and like maybe a Lugia. Probably Lugia.
Maybe an Arc-Pile sneaking in, who knows?
Yeah.
I think you're spot on though with the Gardy, because like people are gonna see, oh cool, Henry Brand, world champion. I'm gonna play his 60 cards.
Exactly.
And then they're gonna think they're invincible into, you know, Lost Box and just not know how to play that matchup right. So definitely the term skill issue will probably come up in the salty tweets after the fact, like I can't believe I did so bad with the world champion's deck.
Yeah,
so who
like
knows what'll ultimately break down.
Yeah, I think Gardevoir is going to be super popular, so bring your Lost Box decks. At the same time, I think people who have been playing Gardevoir are going to be probably rewarded, to be honest. Like mm-hmm. I've kind of stuck with Gardevoir, and it finally like paid off big time just knowing all these matchups so well.
Yeah, being able to play the deck for a while, getting the reps in, knowing the matchups, knowing the lines of play, it makes a massive difference than just like picking up somebody's 60 and rocking with it. But you picked up towards 60 and you rocked it, Like it worked out. So there's a massive difference because you put the time in. I would always see you and Blake and Pat like in the Discord.
Yeah,
getting the work done. So
granted, a bunch of it was just Guard of War Mewtwo, but the switch was pretty easy going mm-hmm. from Guard of War Mewtwo to regular Guard of War.
Yeah.
Granted, the Mewtwo cards are insanely strong, but it felt like I had four more cards in the deck.
I remember, I think you remember me saying, like, I don't like this deck. I tried to play it, and I was like, I hate this deck. And then I played the regular version. I felt so much better afterwards. So I don't know. Something about, like, the Mewtwo version, like, just doesn't rub me the right way, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad, but I just, I couldn't, like, you know, I couldn't vibe with it whatsoever.
It's funny that the weekend I switch off of Gardevoir Mewtwo, Gardevoir Mewtwo wins a different regional.
Mm-hmm.
So I think both versions are still very good. They both have their own merits.
Yeah, and Gardevoir Mewtwo is a little bit better into Lost Box, but at the same time, like, just getting it in play and protecting everything else in the process, it felt like a chore to me, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think two running Sky Seal Stone was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think just four Seal Stone is the way to go, just period. So maybe going back to Gardevoir Mewtwo with four Seal Stone as an option, I think might be in the future.
Speaking of the future, we'll talk about that and then we'll wrap this up because it is a little bit late. So I thank you for giving the time, but future. As a player, clearly you're going to be at NAIC this weekend. You're going to go to some cups out in Chicagoland. But beyond that, what are your plans for the future as a player or just in general?
To be honest, I was planning on going to the Puerto Rico special event. I was able to like register, but apparently it put me on a wait list. Like, I was able to register for the tournament, but was put on a wait list. So I just like haphazardly like bought plane tickets and I was ready to go and I was ready to play. And then somebody told me, I believe it was my girlfriend. Yeah. She was like, wait, are you on the wait list? And I double checked and yeah, I was on a wait list
for
to
like
go play
drops
in Puerto
or
Rico.
Something or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably.
So
I didn't want to risk. I
don't
get like the reasoning with these like SPEs just like popping up last second.
Yeah. Pokemon really needs to just put those out at the very beginning of the year.
I feel like it's not even on Pokemon. I feel like it's on these local and regional level TOs that get SPEs.
You think?
I think so. I think there's some sort of like communication error between Pokemon and these TOs and like, cause like, you know, they, when they schedule these SPEs, it feels like me as like a local professor scheduling a cup or a challenge a month out. You know what I mean? Like this
yeah,
isn't even
sure.
a month out. It's like weeks. That's like what? Two and a half weeks away. Is what that would have been. Two full weeks, basically, from the day this episode will drop. So it's just like, what? 2 week notice? 2 week notice for a league challenge? Cool, bro. That's perfectly fine for me. League Cup? It's a little sketch, but it's not the worst. 2 weeks for SPE or a regional? Nah, that's just not enough time, except for people who are able to just like throw piles of money away.
Yeah. And thankfully I was able to mm-hmm. like afford it just because I did so well at Milwaukee.
Yeah. You have a travel reward basically like whenever they decide to deposit. So like,
exactly.
It's like, okay, cool. I can spend a little bit on my savings. I know I have that money coming back in. That's awesome. Yeah. But it's like, if I was like, oh cool, Puerto Rico, don't mind if I do, let me go ahead and bust out the Capital One and and just I couldn't commit to that.
So,
even if I was like trying super hard this season, I don't think I would commit to it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no SPE for me. Thought about Fresno last minute too. Decided not to, just to spend that money in Japan when I do go.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I'm just gonna try to hit up some cups. Depending on how well I do this weekend at some cups, I will either go to more cups or to a league challenge or two. Try to wrap up some points so I don't have to do a super, super deep run into NAIC.
Yeah, the way we were breaking it down, you get a couple of league challenge and a couple of cup first and second places, and you know, a top 128, top 64 at NAIC can seal the deal for you. So
for sure. And I definitely think I can do it, especially after this confidence boost of top eight. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah. I'm with you on it. I know you can. I've seen how the group has been, and everyone's super supportive in the group. Plus, you've got your partner, so that's a huge push in the right direction. And your mom is a judge, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so like she's a part of it too. She's part of the paper team usually, and she's like the paper team lead slash like the hive manager. Mm-hmm. Usually one of the two, and then my dad is like VG lead or like VG head judge most of the time for Masters.
That's super awesome to have the whole family involved. So like they clearly support you, and
oh yeah,
it makes it a lot easier to be able to do all this.
Yeah, general. For sure. It was awesome. It's nice to have them there because they also like really understand. So if it's in them to let me tag along to the 13-hour drive to Hartford was not too hard.
Yeah, I don't like being able to like, oh, you guys are going to Hartford. All right, cool. I'm coming with you.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier on you in the end too. So.
Yeah. So it wasn't like too much money or time commitment for me. So I was pretty okay with that.
Right on. So at this point, we're gonna wrap it up. So any shout outs, plugs, anything you want to give? I know you're gonna give Darkside some love. They gave us some love.
I have the last no time clue recorded. What you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, at this point,
the floor is yours. Any shout outs or plugs you want to do?
I definitely want to shout out to Darkside Games. Literally, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it a lot for like the sleeves, for cards, for your guys' just support in general. Thank you so much. Shout out to Redacted, of course, being the testing group. They really took me under the wing, and I've been super happy to be testing with them. Steuben, I believe you guys know, he's part of Team Redacted, and it's great to have him around. And then shout out to my girlfriend, as always, for being supportive and literally just shoving me the right way to get this top eight. So super happy about that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome to see homie succeed. So it's a good feeling for all of us, honestly. Also, it's a really good feeling to record an episode without Gazer. Gazer, if you're listening and you made it this far, I blame you for all the mishaps in my life. And no, I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
Shameless self-plug, new t-shirt went out. We photoshopped his face over Lord Farquaad from Shrek.
Oh my God.
there's one version right now where it's like, don't forget I'm notable. There's another version that's going to be like, some of you may get scammed, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. We're going to try and fit that on there for a second.
Where can I get this?
You can find the link down in the description below to buy these t-shirts over on the Fourth Ball Shop. It supports the podcast. It supports my normal individual content and all that nonsense. But yeah.
I definitely am grabbing one of those myself.
Let's go. Any final words whatsoever?
Not much. Just thank you for having me on. And then, to be honest, just play the decks that you're comfortable with. I think we've been saying that a lot in Redacted, that these top tier players don't understand what it's like to just be like a normal player, I guess, for instance.
Yeah.
So play with what you're comfortable with and what you enjoy, and I definitely think the results will show.
Right on. But yeah, that'll do it for this mini gust. I know it's an hour long, but still, thank you for listening. If you made it this far, don't forget to leave a rating on whatever audio podcast platform you listen to, Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon. Please, it means a lot to the pod. It helps support it that way. Click all the links down below in the description. We'll have the link to the Darkside Games. Use the discount code. Was it Darkside10?
Yeah, Darkside10.
Yeah. And shout out to Josh and Andrew. They've both gifted subs to the Twitch channel for the podcast in the past. So you guys are the bomb. When are you guys going to give us a gust of wind code, you filthy animals? But yeah, that'll do it. Steuben out. Take it easy, everybody. See you later. You can say bye if you want to.
Oh, bye-bye.
There we go. See you, everybody.